elbow in my chest. So, no. That's why it's important to have some of God's Word, a little bit of God's Word, right here and here, through Scripture memory. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. These are supporting walls. Here's another one. How about this? Loving others. By the way, sometimes, since you two are together, John, right? Sometimes the ones that are closest to us, we hurt the most. Sometimes. Not on purpose, but.
A lot of time.
What's that?
Yeah, with a lot of time.
Yep. But it says in God's Word, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That you love one another, even as I have loved you. And ye shall show others, you're my disciples. That's what loving others does. Not just sharing with, and some of you have been around me enough, Thompson and John and Jim Hui, that I say I love you. And I don't say that to be stupid. I say that because I really mean it. I say it because I pray for you guys. I pray for you. And as you pray for someone, that you learn to love them. We need to love one another. And not, it doesn't have to be an ushy-gushy way. How many are huggers? I'm the only hugger? Okay. Okay, one and a half. John raises our hand for you. So, but my mom taught me to be a hugger. I'm a hugger. And there's nothing wrong with that. But some, you get near them and you start to hug them and they step back 3 feet. That's all right. You don't have to be a hugger. The idea of loving is how you talk with them, how you encourage them, how you correct them when they do things wrong. You never need correction, do you? Do you? Oh, you do? Okay, good. But it's how you're corrected that makes a difference, am I right? How you're corrected. So, the idea of loving others. Another structural wall, and that is focus our heart on being Christ-like. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says there, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. Who could know it? And desperately wicked. When it comes down to it, well, let me ask, how many of you have ever had children? Okay? When they've been little kids, I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, were they always sharing? Or if they saw someone else have a toy, they'd go over and grab that toy and take it away from them. Yeah. Even though they had their own toy. Yeah. Little children are normally selfish because we want our way. We want our things. We want it in a certain way. And some people don't grow out of that. And so being Christ-like, we need to examine our heart. What's my reason for wanting something? And that reason might be because of my selfishness. By the way, is it okay to want good things? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is good to want good things. You don't want to eat garbage every day, am I right? Yes. So we need to want good things. It's how we get those good things. The heart is deceitful. Examine your heart when you see conflict. The idea of Psalm 119, verse 10, it says there, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Psalm 119, verse 10. And so we need to seek what God wants us to do. Remember, he said in John 10, he's come to give us life and life more abundantly. And I shared it before, but I know the difference of walking as a churchgoer and walking as a born-again Christian. There's a difference. There's a difference. By the way, it doesn't mean our life gets easy. Am I right? We still go through struggles. We still go through times of hurt. We still go through those things. But we have someone who walks with us. That's what's exciting. We have someone who walks with us. But then, the wall coverings. After you get the walls up and you put the drywall up, you have the wall coverings, and then you finish off with paint. Now, I'm not the best painter. My wife does most of the painting. But what's interesting is, as you do that, you choose your paint wisely. Am I right? You choose to make sure it blends. You make sure it's a good feeling, soft feeling, or if it's a playroom, you know, you want to have maybe a radical feeling. But it's important that you do that. And so within the Christian life, that it's important that we have not just the outward appearance, but the inward, the idea of service, of having service. And the idea of service is how we serve one another, how we serve God. That it says in God's Word, that Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and see your Father, which is in heaven. Idea of service, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship. You and I are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that you and I should walk in. Idea of service. It doesn't mean that we serve and everything we do has to be some type of sweat-bearing service. What it means is everything we do is for his glory. When you engineer, that the designs you have should shine out his goodness, his creativeness. When you do software development, that when you get done, it should show the excellence of God working through you. And so as we look at the idea of service, we need to understand where Romans 12:1 says that we are to do things unto the Lord. Unto the Lord, which is an outgrowth of our desires. See, not only that, but you see words on here. From the heart, man speaks in Luke 6:45. Let me just turn over there to Luke 6:45. It says this. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For out of the overflow, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Think about that. Have you ever had someone say something and say, oh, I really didn't mean that? Maybe you've done that. I have. But really, I spoke what was in my heart, and I'm trying to cover it up. But our words speak. Our words is like a bridle on a horse, a small little bit, but it turns the horse, which is 1,000 times heavier than that bit, to the right or to the left or to stop. That our words can hurt. Our words can build up. Our words can encourage. Our words can discourage. So it's important to choose our words when we talk to one another. When again, I was an engineer, that junior design engineer at Clark Equipment, and how I talked with, in fact, it's interesting. It's a God thing I was hired. I was a physics major at Ohio State. I was not an engineering major. That 11 months after we were married, we had our first child. And then Pam got morning sickness so much that I went to work full time. I tried to go to college, finish. I did not finish. I got 210 hours of college, but not enough in my major. And so I was falling asleep in my classes. But then my supervisory staff at UPS said, hey, we want you to be our engineer. I'm not engineer. We want you to be one of our supervisors. I was the youngest supervisor in Ohio. And they promised me that I would have my hours cut so I could finish college. Well, I went from working about 9 hours a night to 12 to 15 hours a night. I was not ready for college. But I decided I needed to move away from Columbus. Moved up to where Pam was raised, in Michigan. and had a job promise. Even when I showed up for work, they said, we're having labor problems, we're not hiring anybody, we're not hiring you. I drove 100 miles every day for 3 weeks. Got my first job as a junior design engineer. And what? It's crazy. I don't know if this has ever happened. The first day, the manager of my group, there was 250 engineers and draftsmen on our floor. And Dave Link was my boss over our group. He came up to me, and in fact, there was three of us hired, said, by the way, we never have overtime here. By 3 o'clock that afternoon, he says, we have an important project. Would you guys mind sticking over? First night, I did overtime. First night, that there was a young man who sat behind me, and he was in charge of R&D, of going over handling our projects. Within 2 months, they asked if I would take over his job. And the reason being that because he was from the engineering department, he was in charge. And guys in R&D were not the young bucks, they were the older guys. And they did not like anybody ordering them around. So I went out, and I went out with a teachable heart. And as I did, I talked with them. Instead of demanding they do things, I asked. And that when they suggested things, I listened. And I took them back to our people in my group. And it was interesting that those guys worked hard for me. One time they worked all night for me. All night on a project. They didn't have to. But I found words changes things. Amen? Words changes. It does with our children. If those of you who have children, our words can either make them hurt so bad they don't want to listen, or our words can help them realize, yes, Dad loves us. Our words make a big difference. Not only that, our peace. Philippians 4:7, it says, the peace of God. And so, as we talk about that, the peace will color. This is a color paint for a kitchen. That's this right here, the peace of God. It makes a difference in our life. Now, peace, with that, you'll see also our actions. And by the way, anybody ever stain any wood? That adds a little color, am I right? And it adds accent. That's what joy does. Those are the three things. Our peace will help us to walk in the Lord in a positive way. And with that, our actions reflect that in James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. The idea of our joy. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, I believe, it says that have all joy. Have all joy. And joy isn't where you go around with this crazy grin on your face no matter what happens. Joy even comes in times of hurt. And that joy is not the bouncy type that jumps up and down, but the joy is the peace of knowing God is working in my heart and I can trust Him. Is that easy to do? No, it's not. But His joy can make a difference. And so, with that, you have the coverings. What's interesting is what they see can look good in the beginning. The trim and paint, don't they cover up imperfections? Yes. But sometimes, if our foundation, if our walls are not right, then it can't cover up too much. So it's important we go back. What is our foundations? What is our supporting walls? What is our walls? And then, what is our covering? See, the difference between a physical building and a spiritual building, and if you go to the next slide, Thompson, that this is a house next to where I live. I got it for very cheap because the guy abandoned it. It had this much dog hair. on everything. He had several dogs and never cleaned up. It was bad. It smelled. It was, and he fled for Canada, and so I was able to buy it from the bank for pretty cheap. A friend of mine and I did the plumbing and wiring, and also helped with the destruction. But to correct some of the flaws, we had to tear it down to the studs. And sometimes that's what happens in a physical building. You got to tear it all out to get it right. And there's so many details I could share, but you see a little bit of the chaos that had to take place. We had to go down to the base. But what's neat is we can always strengthen the framework of our spiritual walk without tearing it out. Amen? We don't have to go back. In fact, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the tear out and redeeming took place immediately. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you have become a new creature. A new creature. That doesn't mean become perfect. This preacher is not perfect. But what it means is that I have the foundation. I have the foundation that's there, that's solid. I just need to build on it. So as we look at this, when we strengthen the spiritual framework, it also increases the visibility reflecting Christ and of His body. When we strengthen the spiritual framework, not the foundation, it's already there, but the framework. Remember what those were? Praying, being in His Word, memorizing His Word, through encouraging others, loving one another. These are certain things that are there that will help us to grow in Him. So, when we strengthen those things, we're reflecting Christ. We're reflecting Christ. And coming from someone who is religious, for me, it didn't happen overnight. I'm still growing. I'm still growing. That's why I pray every day for me, because I need to grow. Amen? We need to be changing. I love the song, He's Changing Me. That's based off of Philippians 1:6. He's changing me. A step at a time. But we have to be willing to be changed by Him. So without the foundation of Christ, there can be no peace, no true joy, no final fulfillment, and no well done, good and faithful servant, which is what I'm looking forward to when I get to heaven. So sometimes we forget we're on that foundation of Christ. Sometimes we forget that we can have His love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Sometimes we forget that He is there to walk alongside of us. In Romans 12:1, it says that we're to be a living sacrifice. I heard this many years ago, but you remember